Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. Today, Ted and I continue our conversation about spiritual gifts, focusing on the gift of mercy. We talk about what it means to be merciful, and we look at some examples from Scripture. We also talk about our high school graduations. Thanks for joining us for episode 35 of the Zach Pod. Well, Ted, it's graduation Sunday. Do you remember your high school graduation?
Oh, I do.
Tell me about it.
It was a nightmare.
Oh, no. Why?
Well, for me, it was, you know, it's like, oh, I just got to grin and bear it and do it. Graduation was, you know, it's a wonderful time to celebrate that you've accomplished and got through. And I got through probably, you know, okay. I did okay.
Do you mean academically?
Academically, I did okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was in the course, which was kind of cool because then they would sit you up front in a graduation. And so we could walk through because we had so I was like in the first two rows of 700 students graduating. It was a huge graduating class in Jacksonville.
What school was it you graduated from?
Terry Parker Senior High School. Shout out. Yoo-hoo.
Okay. What was your mascot?
Braves.
The Braves.
Okay. Terry Parker Braves.
Nice.
So in that sense, it was really wonderful, you know, be part of that group and to be able to sing and then sit down in the front rows and applaud and celebrate everybody graduating. Back then, they used to have baccalaureate services for high school students. So
what does that mean?
Part of the weekend, you know, that was like a church service.
Oh, okay.
They'd get a challenge from a pastor, you know, okay, and so on, so on. Yeah. The reason I said it was a nightmare, well, my girlfriend at the time, she broke up with me at...
at graduation? Or?
Well, I can't remember if it was the baccalaureate or graduation. It was one of those events, and they were like 2 days apart. So it's like, oh, man, this is a bummer. But anyway, the Lord knew all that. He orchestrated all that out. You know, 100 years later.
Yeah.
And grateful. But grateful that my high school experience was good because, you know, I took courage to audition and get involved in chorus. And so that was a real saving spot for me during those years. And then Lord led me to NIAC and so forth. But my nephew, who's in charge of education for the state of Florida, got to go back to Terry Parker Senior High and tour the campus, and he texted me, he said, Uncle Teddy, it's just the same. It hasn't changed, because they were asking for a foundation request, and they got that, which is good. But the funny thing is, my brother also graduated from the same high school.
Really? Years before? Okay.
Yeah.
Go Braves.
Go Braves. And so when Kevin was there, they pulled out the yearbooks of my brother and the yearbooks of me and showed everybody, oh, this is who my uncle is who my dad is in the high school, and kind of cool and, you know, pretty wild. I had the same math teacher that my brother had, and my brother and I are 11 years apart, so that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, wild stuff. But, yeah, so high school was kind of interesting, you know. It was like, okay, I graduated high school. I'm heading to New York to go to college.
So I went to a really small high school. It's called the Master's Academy. I think it's bigger now, but when I was there, it was primarily meeting in, like, trailers behind this church. They were building another place. Our graduation was really small. My graduating class was like 33 people, I think. Yeah, we had this. I remember there was like kind of like a banquet, I don't know if it was a junior senior banquet or if it was just seniors. I remember going to the one when I was a junior, but I'm not sure why. Maybe I was just going to support the seniors who are graduating. But anyway, you know, the parents would get up and speak about the grad, and it was I remember it was emotional, actually, like everybody getting up and talking about the grad. So that was before, and then we had the actual service at a church. The actual graduation service was at a church. And it was fine. I think there was a preacher who did the commencement speech, and he's like a really famous preacher actually now in Orlando, but it was not a very good commencement speech. I still remember it. And I remember being like, what is this about? I remember his stories and how I did it. I was like, that's not a good story. And I've talked with other people who were there, and they were like, what a terrible commencement speech. Anyway, I'm sure he's great. It was just at the time. But yeah, it was really a small affair. It would have been over quick if it wasn't for that long commencement speech. But my high school graduation was really small. Journeys is this weekend. So my oldest,
we're so excited.
She's gonna
Congrats.
Be, and we're going to, you know, you have to go to USF to fit all those Pasco kids into the place. So it's exciting.
Early enough so you don't get lost. Yeah, we had six
grads, which is cool. We had the table set up and got to see, you know, they had tables with their achievements and their style and
their pictures.
It was encouraging to see what they're gonna do next. So congratulations to our grads. been talking about spiritual gifts on the podcast this year. We've got a couple of scriptures about that, but one of the famous ones is from Romans. This is Romans 12. I'm just going to read a little bit of it to get us sort of in set. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. So he's talking about, in this case, the gifts are really in conversation with relational dynamics, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, don't feel bad if you don't have the gift of preaching like this guy or the gift of whatever like she does. We all are meant to bless each other with these gifts. If we all had the same gift, that would be a waste. Okay, so this is Romans 12 language. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. It's like, do the thing that God's gifted you to do, right? If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Today, we're going to talk about the gift of mercy and how that might manifest in a person's life. You know, what does it mean to be merciful? And what is the gift of mercy? How does that come into play, you know, in our everyday lives? So just, you know, your first thought, what's your first thought when you think about the spiritual gift of mercy? What comes to your mind?
Well, for me, I think a couple of things rattling in my brain. You know, we always cry out, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And I think mercy is really tightly partnering with grace, God's grace. God's grace and God's mercy on display. And so I think the way that is manifested, especially I think at times for believers, when we're showing mercy as well, am I going to show judgment? Am I going to show condemnation? Am I going to show criticism? Am I going to give harsh words? Am I going to be angry? Or am I going to pause, listen, and just listen and then give grace and allow the Holy Spirit to work, but I'm going to show mercy. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm just showing favor to that person who is needing mercy. Maybe they don't recognize they need mercy in the moment. You know, and that would be a good thing is God's mercy always, you know, is it always patient, lenient, gentle, kind? Or is his mercy sometimes, you know, ministered with love, with discipline?
Yeah, what is mercy? I think, you know, if we separate it from like the like biblical language and you think about mercy in real life, to have mercy, what does it mean to have mercy?
We play that pinochle game, you know, where you're grabbing a person's hand and they're trying to rip your hand off, and the person whose hand's getting ripped off has to cry out, mercy,
yeah.
And then the person lets go.
Yeah, it's like giving in. It's not punishing, right? So if you deserve a punishment and you were shown mercy instead, right? It's close to the word compassion. So sometimes in the Greek, it's actually translated compassion.
Yeah.
Right here, so it's like this word, to show mercy. So it's a verb, actually.
Yes.
It's not just a noun. The noun, what is mercy? But it's like to show mercy. The Koine Greek is fun. It's a lot of vowels. I think it's eleo. It's four syllables and it's all es. It's eleo, I'm pretty sure. And it means to show mercy or to have compassion. It's a verb. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's something that you do, you express. And obviously that's in relationship. You're having compassion on, you mean you could have it on yourself, but it's toward a person, presumably towards someone who has done something wrong, right? Who has wronged you or who you feel has wronged you or who has failed in some way, right? You're showing mercy, having compassion, applying this, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm not going to hold you to whatever the standard was. That is what I feel like mercy means, like to show, because that you picture like somebody kneeling before a king, right? And what can they do? The king has all the power, they have none. And what do they say? They have mercy. Like, I'm just pleading to you as a person, like, please have mercy. That's all I can ask for,
right?
Is that you don't punish me according to how you've said, or you don't blame me, or you don't whatever. That's to have mercy, right? To show compassion in that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, and there are biblical examples of that, you know, where people do go to those over them and ask for mercy. And the one story in the New Testament, the ruler gives the person
mercy. It's the parable, right?
The parable that Jesus told. And the person gives mercy. And then the person that received that gracious gift of mercy, was not punished for his debt or whatever, goes out and finds all those who owes him money, and he starts throwing them in jail. He's doing the opposite of
that. Yeah, he was shown mercy, but then he doesn't show mercy in return.
But he doesn't show mercy.
And the ruler is angry.
Angry. He is just upset.
All right, the moral of that story is like, hey, God is like this ruler who showed mercy, and so shouldn't you then, you've been showed a great deal of mercy, shouldn't you also be out here showing mercy?
It sort of ties in with, you know, those who've been forgiven much, they forgive much. Or they recognize, I've been forgiven much, so I can extend forgiveness, or I can extend mercy because God has showered mercy on me.
That's interesting. I do think it's very tied to forgiveness. So there's not a spiritual gift of forgiveness. That's not one of the lists that's not listed. Although I suppose it could be a gift. Somebody could be really extra good at forgiving. But I wonder if there's a connection between that mercy. There definitely is a connection between mercy and forgiveness, right? So if God is giving you the gift of mercy, what does that mean? It means supernaturally you're able to show mercy, extend mercy to this person, supernaturally.
Supernaturally.
It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inside of you enables you to, you know, to forgive, like to not demand, you know, revenge or whatever.
Or justice or retribution. Or whatever it may be. And you're, that individual is able to extend mercy, and then they don't hold it against them, that individual, whatever the fault may be or the offense.
Yeah. There's a lot of examples in the life of Jesus, right? There's the woman caught in adultery in the book of John. It's John chapter 8. So rather than condemning the woman who is deserving in that moment of this strict societal judgment and punishment, that's what the guys are all there saying. Hey, doesn't she deserve this?
Yeah.
Jesus instead shows mercy, right? Yes. He says, I don't condemn you. Yeah, you know, go and sin no more. It's a beautiful story of the mercy of Christ. There's the, and then there's the parable of the Good Samaritan. So that's an act of mercy, more about, so there's like mercy in word and mercy in deed, that eleo can mean both of those, to show mercy. But the Good Samaritan, they're expecting a Samaritan. Oh, he's going to be the villain of the story. He's not going to, but he, through his own personal expense, takes care of this, shows mercy to this beaten up individual when the other quote unquote holy people in society don't. So that's another example of the value of mercy in the ministry of Jesus. What's an example in our lives then of, it doesn't have to, you know, have to be necessarily personal, but how does it show up for us? So we're talking about these biblical examples. How does it show up for us when somebody's shown us mercy, or when we've felt like God has enabled us to extend mercy to others, or just something you've seen in other people's lives? Like, what is a contemporary gift of mercy look like?
Yeah, contemporary gift. I think it has to do, like I mentioned earlier, we are so easy to judge and condemn. You know, we've often heard, I remember in the 80s, they would say, well, Christians like to shoot their wounded. You know, when a believer gets hurt, we just like to pour gasoline on the fire and hurt him more, kind of thing.
Why do you think that is?
I think it is because we put a whole lot of emphasis on, if I behave a certain way, then I am that way. And so as a Christian, you're not supposed to behave that way when the gift of salvation is all because of God's grace and mercy showered on us. Now, God expects us, out of a love for him, to allow his Spirit to work in us so that we do move toward holiness and righteousness and living for him. But at the times when we're all battling temptation of sin and we give in and we flounder and fail, you know, in those moments, what are we to do? James says we're to come alongside and rescue that individual. And I think that's by showing mercy and compassion and grace. Yeah. And yes, in those moments, forgiveness instead of condemning them. Like, okay, so there's a family in your congregation and a marriage that has fallen apart because one of the partners has an adulterous affair. Or there could be another situation where the family is struggling because someone's battling addiction to substance or alcohol or whatever. And if people know that, then, you know, we like to be gossipers and chatter and then condemn and so forth. But I think in those moments, I think as believers, first of all, we need to come alongside those hurting in our congregation and just love them. And that means just not condemn them. It may mean not say anything. It may mean just listen. It may mean pray. I think that's the first aspect. We need to pray, but then put feet and just let that individual know, you're my brother or sister in Christ. We love you in Jesus. God's got you through this. Continue to seek him first, and we are here if you need us. You know, that kind of constant care.
I think there's a lot of shame related in the church, right? There's a lot of shame when people fail, especially when they fail, like, because it's if it's public. And so, man, we don't want to be public. If we fail, like, it's got to stay private, because once it's public, then I'm not going to be accepted. I'm not going to be thought of the same way. There's so much of it is about reputation and how I'm thought of. When in reality, all of us are sinners, and all of us fail. All of us are
sinners, yeah.
And I do think within the church, I've seen a lot of times people extend mercy like that and grace and understanding, because they're close, because it's in relationship. So it's like, hey, you messed up, I mess up too. And like, I've seen a lot of examples of forgiveness. Where I think I see us not do that as much is with people in the public, people in the media, people who are famous, a famous Christian. Yeah. That's the worst thing to be. I would never want to be a famous Christian, because then you don't have that relationship. They're not part of our church.
Right.
So it's easy to talk about them, to judge them, and to whatever. And of course, I know there's judgment that happens within the church too, for sure.
That's right.
But I've seen a lot of what you're talking about, grace and mercy extended through those relationships. Yeah. And that's what this is talking about. The gifts are meant to be exercised within relationship. So
absolutely.
Now we got somebody on TV that, you know, says they're a Christian, and everybody over here judging them. Well, what's their theology? Yeah. And how much of a Christian? Oh, if they're a Christian, why would they wear that shoes?
Yeah.
Why would they go to that place? Why would they say that thing? Oh my gosh, we don't have any business doing that. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't know that person. That's just something that somebody said on TV. Like, we don't know them.
We echo it, and then we hear it. It's not true. And then we just perpetuate the lie, and the devil's having a field day with it.
Yeah, and we start to think that's like what the church, you know, because the church...
It hurts the body and it hurts the testimony of Jesus, and that's totally opposite of the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is that supernatural expression of Christ-like love, and how he demonstrated to the woman caught in adultery, how he demonstrated even to those who were giving him a mockery when he was, right before he was crucified. He was showing, God showed mercy.
Right.
On the cross, amazingly so.
Yeah.
And, you know, that old song that, well, he could have called 10,000 angels. Well, he could have, but he didn't, because God demonstrated his love and action through mercy. And he wants us as his followers to do the same.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, the supernatural part of it, because there's some people in my life that's really easy to forgive, even if they aren't sorry, you know, because I love them so much.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are easy to forgive because they are contrite and they are sorry. And they're like, hey, I made a mistake. Oh, man, that's so easy to be like, that's okay. Forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
But it's when people are not contrite or not sorry.
Yeah.
The people who are crucifying Jesus weren't apologizing. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Who were doing some in that moment to be able to forgive and to love in spite of the way you're being treated.
Yeah.
That's like supernatural mercy, you know? Yeah. And it's not popular.
Oh, no.
What's popular is payback, you know, and standing up for yourself and don't let anybody say, but to show mercy, to forgive in the face of attack.
That individual who's attacking, you know, or you think of the Roman soldiers, you know, some of them just were doing their duty.
Right, yeah.
They were just doing what they were commanded to do.
It's like sweeping the floor for a lot of them.
And so, you know, they had that kind of thing. But God, in his infinite wisdom, you know, displayed his love through Christ on the cross and his power through the resurrection, which was totally amazing.
Yeah.
And so praise him for that. And then he gives us his Holy Spirit to reside in us, to live in us, to cultivate the gifts. And when we're faced with, well, I really want to not forgive this person, or I don't want to extend mercy to this person, I want to condemn them because I'm right. I am definitely right, and everybody knows I'm right. In fact, everybody says that I'm right, so I want him to burn. You know, what we open ourselves up to is the avenue of not only slander and malice, but hatred and anger and bitterness and resentment. And that was like a cancer disease of the soul that just robs us of allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate in us the fruit. The first fruit is love, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's all part of that gift of mercy.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit begins to produce in us his love, that we can love that unlovely person.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah. I think
it's a supernatural.
Yeah. There's times when it for sure has to be. And some of these gifts we think about, like when we talked about being a pastor or being someone who's an encourager, it's like, oh, it's that type of person, or it's a gift that we see in operation all the time. And mercy, I don't know if I have an example of a particularly merciful person, a person for whom mercy, that supernatural gift, is always residing. I'm sure there must be. It's maybe just not a way that I think of it very often, but it's definitely, I think of it in like when you need it. Like, when do I need it's like a supernatural gift that God can give you to be merciful, to forgive in the moment. And like we've been talking about in Ephesians, it's all relational. So it's all about unity, right? If you don't show mercy, if you demand your own rightness and justice in a community, that community is going to break. And if you can show mercy to each other, where does Paul say, cover over each other's mistakes with love?
Yeah, love.
Right?
Love,
yeah, if you can show mercy instead of demanding your rightness and justice in community, then your community will thrive and you will have unity, right?
Yeah, 5:21 Ephesians is so key. Be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's preferring. In fact, you know, that's a part of mercy. I'm not having it my way. I'm having it your way,
right?
Because of my love for Jesus and my love for you. So I'm able to show mercy. So it's cool.
Well, let's look at a scripture real quick.
Yes.
Mark 10:46-52. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. I chose this scripture because it's one of the places that Greek word for show mercy or have mercy is repeated several times, you know, the blind man calling out to Jesus.
Yes.
The miracle here is the healing, you know, is him getting his sight. But yes. I wanted to kind of center in on what is the guy asking for. Eventually he asks, "I want to see," but he's saying, "Have mercy on me." People first tell him to be quiet, and then it's funny. They're like, "Be quiet." And Jesus is like, "Tell him to come." And then the people totally change. "Hey, he's calling you. Hey, come on." And then they're on board. And he jumps up, right? What he's crying out for is mercy.
Well, we see here that Bartimaeus is the blind beggar, and he's definitely in need. And people probably have told him over his whole life, the reason you're blind is because you don't measure up. You failed, you're sinful, or your parents sinned, or you're just...
Some kind of judgment.
Some kind of judgment was falling upon him. So he hears of Jesus, and he knows, and it's interesting, Son of David, but there's a lot there. He says, "Have mercy on me." So he recognizes, I need Jesus to display mercy. I need God's mercy. And so there's an asking there. When people are in need of God's mercy, I think we need to ask God for mercy.
And that's really interesting. I think you're right. I think maybe he's asking for mercy as in like, hey, if this blindness is a judgment, which is how everybody would have thought it, and certainly how he would have thought of it. It wasn't like he was sitting there thinking, well, I'm just blind because, you know, I'm blind. They were, like you said, he was definitely of the mindset that I've sinned somehow.
Yeah.
And so have mercy on me is like, take away the judgment.
Take away the judgment. Take away that sin. Yeah.
Take away the judgment of that has led to me being blind.
Yes.
And Jesus later on sort of changes the tone of that for people.
Oh,
he's
absolutely like,
"Hey, why is this guy blind?" They ask him, you know, not him, but in another story. And he's like, "It's not because of sin." You know, like that's not the reason. But that's definitely how it was thought of culturally.
That's how it was thought of.
So have mercy on me is like, hey, forgive me for whatever I did to end up being blind. And then the evidence of that mercy is that he's not blind anymore.
Yeah. What's so amazing, you know, even with the, you know, even those that had leprosy during the day, they had to call out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean." What does Jesus do? He reaches out and touches them, you know. He goes that extra mile to display his love, his power, his grace, his ability to heal, but also his mercy.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up lepers too, because man, nobody wants to go near him, right?
Yep.
So who are the people in society that we don't want to go near? Maybe because they're going to talk our ear off and we're never going to get away, or maybe because there's some sort of social stigma or something like that.
They could be outside of the faith and they could have a lifestyle that's totally repulsive.
Yeah, or in some way, making you uncomfortable, something that makes you uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, what does it mean to have mercy in those spaces? You know, I think it's to draw near,
yes,
you know, or invite them in. That's what Jesus does. Tell them to come here, like to invite them in as a, rather than keep them at arm's length or just ignore.
And he was, and Bartimaeus was excited because he threw off his coat. And he jumped up. And, you know, even though he couldn't see, he jumped up and he heard Jesus. So he was moving toward Jesus. And Jesus asked that beautiful question, what do you want me to do for you?
Mm-hmm. So maybe the mercy was just giving him an audience at all. You know what I mean?
Oh,
the mercy,
absolutely. Yeah.
The mercy could be, hey, just stop and listen to me or notice me, you know. But I tend to think more of the kind of what you said about the judgment. Like,
the
hey,
judgment.
Show mercy to my blindness.
Yeah.
So in that way, he is sort of asking for healing or for forgiveness.
Yes.
Right, so mercy is maybe tied to that. Like the only way Jesus would deign to forgive that guy is by having mercy on him, by having compassion.
Yeah.
Which is the same word, to have compassion. So to notice the person and to feel for them and recognize where their state and lift them up. And that's what, when we ask God for mercy, that's what we're doing too. You know, we're saying, in spite of my state, in spite of my lowliness and insignificance, notice me and raise me up, heal me
me, use me. You know, he says, Bartimaeus says, I want to see. Now, we can read a lot into that. But I think he genuinely, first of all, I want to see physically. Mm. I want my physical sight to be restored. And what did that mean? Maybe when his sight got restored, he wouldn't be judged anymore. He wouldn't be condemned anymore. People wouldn't say, oh, you're a child of sinful people or you have sinned. They would stop that because he could see.
Yeah.
So the outward criticisms and condemnation would go away.
Mm.
You know, it's a beautiful picture. When we meet Christ, he changes us.
Yeah.
So the condemnation,
mm-hmm.
there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
And so the beautiful truth is when we come to Christ, Jesus does ask us, what do you want me to do for you?
Yeah.
When we are honest with him and say, hey, I need you to do this, he comes and he changes us.
Yeah.
So I think Bartimaeus got to see physically,
mm-hmm.
but I think his eyes were open spiritually too.
Mm.
He experienced the forgiveness
yep.
and the non-condemnation.
Right.
Yeah.
God is merciful.
Amen.
He wants us to be merciful. And just like in this story, mercy leads to a lot of other good things, you know?
Amen.
That's what happens when he shows us mercy. And when we show others mercy, it leads to a lot of good things, a lot of good spiritual fruit. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Zach Pod. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.